You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We'd like to invite you out to our services. You can join us on Wednesday nights, youth on Thursday nights, or as always on Sunday morning. And just to let you know, we do have a guest speaker this coming week. Danny Duvall will be with us once again. Evangelist Danny Duvall always has a phenomenal word. And I want you to know that Danny, he comes to our church, but we're probably one of the smallest churches that he preaches in. He used to before he became a pastor, he was preaching revivals all across America, preaching youth conferences, youth conventions, and youth camps, and just got a heart for people. One of the greatest evangelists that I know, not just in his ability to preach, but when he is in the area, he is constantly engaging people in conversation, trying to build the kingdom of God. And so I'd like to invite you out this Sunday, 10:30, to hear evangelist Danny Duvall. I guarantee you it will be worth your time. So we're going to be going to Matthew chapter 18. Before we get there, I want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. You hear me talk about them about once a week. They are experts in all things concrete, whether it is knowing the different types of concrete. I hear that there are some advancements that are happening in the elements that contribute to the concrete to make it stronger, more durable, things like that. They know all about that stuff. They know what's got to go on inside or what you can't see. They've got decades of experience. They have tremendous expertise, and they have a fantastic work ethic. If you've got a concrete job coming up, you might want to consider them as a resource and reach out to them, because there are certain things that I just don't want to ever do again, and pouring concrete is one of them. And so whenever I have a concrete need, I'm calling the folks at Jits Concrete. 321-536-5804. The Anderson family has been part of Merritt Assembly of God longer than I have. And I've been there for 33 years. So, we thank them for all that they have done, for the church. And, we've also used them at our house as well. And they always do a great, great job. So today we are going to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to begin reading in verse number 15. It goes all the way to verse number 35. And the last, you know, these last 21 verses discuss how we are supposed to deal with people who sin against us. And I want to talk about it because there's a key phrase in the latter part. I'm going to go ahead and read the latter part just so that you understand what we are supposed to do when it comes to dealing with people who treat other people badly, who do not uphold kingdom values. So the latter part has to do with Peter asking the question, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him, up to seven times? And I want you to know, I believe that when Peter asked that question, he was thinking that he was being very, very generous. And Jesus goes on to tell him that forgiveness needs to be readily available, and it's not poured out by the number of different incidents, but instead it is moved by the compassion. And so here I'm going to read two verses. I'm not going to dive into the latter part of this yet. It says in verse number 27, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. The parable goes on to talk about that forgiven servant, or the one who had benefited from the master's compassion, goes and does not demonstrate the same compassion that he has received. And in verse number 35, it says, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant? So as we look at these situations, I want you to remember that compassion plays a central role in these discussions. So let me read verses 15, 16, and 17. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses even to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. I want to read to you this passage from the Amplified. I was studying that before I came in this morning and found the way that they worded some of these passages to be quite helpful in understanding them. So I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified now. Matthew 18, 15 through 18. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens and pays attention to you, you have won back your brother. But if he does not listen, take along with you one or two others, so that every word may be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he pays no attention to them, refusing to listen and obey, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile, unbeliever, and a tax collector. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, which is to permit, declare lawful on earth, shall have already been loosed in heaven. So what we have here is a relational issue, okay? Everything that is being described here has to do with relationship. Jesus refers to this person as a brother. So the first thing that I can tell you about this is, if you are engaging in church attendance and in church relationships, I can assure you that there are no perfect people in that church. The pastor isn't perfect. The deacons aren't perfect. The kids aren't perfect. Your neighbor's not perfect, and you aren't either. With that being said, the possibility not only exists, but is very probable, highly likely, that as you build those relationships, that there's going to be some imperfections in people that manifest from time to time. Some of it will be just miscommunication. Some of it may be misperception. Some of it may be actually an accurate reflection of ungodly behavior that is operating in a person's life. And so to go to that person to try and resolve those issues is a biblical mandate. But it is a mandate that must be motivated by compassion. We're not going to make sure that our conviction rate is high. I mean, you see that in the legal system. Well, this attorney has a conviction rate that is this high and all of that sort of stuff. I will tell you that if we're going for a conviction rate, we're all guilty. All of us. I found it interesting in studying some history as far as scandals that have gone on in national government. There was a senator that was actively engaged in in exposing a scandal when he was a senator. He was actively engaged in that in the 50s. And then later on, he became president, and there was a scandal that arose, and he didn't fare so well in that scandal. On the opposite side of the aisle, there was a person who was actively involved in the scandal, pursuing the scandal that guy was involved in. And later on, that person aspired to a higher office, and they got entangled in a scandal. And that didn't fare well for them. And then there was the person who was pursuing the scandal with that person, and later on they ended up in a scandal of their own. So make sure that you keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the people around you. The Bible's very clear about the measure that you use is the measure that will be used against you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so I want to make sure that I'm using a good, godly standard when I'm dealing with fallen people. And so I don't remember. Oh, I do remember. A month ago, we had evangelist Mark Perkey, who was with us, and he expressed something that I have always believed, and that is that I try and sow good seed in how I treat other people, because my children may one day be in the position that they need people who will be there and support them, and a number of them are. So I always encouraged my parents, hey, make sure you treat your pastor very good, because your son is a pastor and you want to make sure that people treat your son well. And listen, Merit Assembly of God is like family to me. They treat me very, very, very well. And we are, to a great extent, not biological family, but we are spiritual family, and we're always looking for the family to increase in size. So if you're looking for a church, this is me personally inviting you out there. So when you have that brotherly relationship, and one of the other, male or female, has a fault, has a sin, it says if your brother sins against you, it says that we're supposed to have enough compassion for them to go to them. So the first thing that I would say is, if you are looking to deal with a situation The first question I have is, do you have relationship with them? If you don't have relationship with them, it's going to need to be a prophetic word, like Elijah walked up to King Ahab. No one had really knew who Elijah was up until that point in time. And, you know, when Elijah gave the word to the King Ahab, hey, you know, you and your wife are leading this nation on an ungodly path, and there are now going to be consequences in the nation because of that. It's not going to rain for 3.5 years. It's not going to rain until I say so. To give you the delusion of ungodly behavior, Ahab is searching across the earth. The famine gets so severe, the drought gets so severe. He's looking to kill Elijah, and you know that's a surefire way to keep the drought going, is if it's not going to rain until Elijah says so, you want him to speak. And so Elijah shows up with a relationship with God that initiates a relationship with Ahab. By the way, I will tell you this: a lot of times people don't mention this when discussing Elijah and Ahab. At one point in time, Elijah confronts Ahab about Naboth's vineyard, where Naboth had been murdered because Ahab wanted the vineyard. And Ahab repents. And God tells Elijah, have you seen how Ahab has repented? Unfortunately, later, Ahab repented of his repentance and went back to his old ways. But the nature in us going and confronting our brother's sin, a person we have relationship with, is to, because we're motivated with compassion, to see them repent and get back on a godly path. So, I ask you, do you have relationship with them? And it says that when you go to them, that you need to go to them privately. We live in a society now where you don't go to a person privately. People put it on social media. They do all sorts of stuff. And it's out there for all the world to see. And it's presented in such a way that it is a biased presentation. Now, sometimes by the time it gets to be public, the steps of Matthew 18 have been followed and been rejected. And at that point in time, then you're looking at an unrepentant person. You're not looking at a victim. So he says, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. Sibling relationships are some of the longest relationships that we tend to have. And so that is the goal. The goal is to go and show compassion and bring about a change of heart and a change of spiritual condition and a change of behavior. That's the goal. Not everyone wants to hear it. Okay, so 2 years ago, I believe it was, we did a workshop for 16 weeks on redemptive compassion. Has to do a great deal with this. People who used to be part of the body of Christ and they have been deceived and are living in confusion, and it's having devastating effects on families and things like that. How do you minister to those people? Well, you minister to them by speaking the truth in love, the goal being to get them reconciled to Christ. That's the goal. So what do? If he hears you, you've gained your brother. You know, and nobody has to know about it. You've done your job. You've reconciled it. You you've followed scriptural mandate. That is God's perfect plan. So God does that for us. He comes to us whenever we've got a problem, and he speaks to us with a still small voice so that we can repent. If that doesn't happen, then he will begin to send other people our way, just like what is described here. And so, but if he will not take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, I want to share with you what was shared with me decades ago by my friend, Mark Burney. I don't know where he got it, but he shared this. Whenever you are going to an individual with two or three others so that everything is established, you don't poison their viewpoint before you go. You don't try to get to rally them onto your side. What you are doing is you are taking two unbiased witnesses and that want to see godly behavior in people's lives. And believe it or not, the possibility exists that you could be wrong, I could be wrong. And so I have a rule that if there's anything going on theologically that I'm reading and hearing about, and it's like, wow, I've never heard this before, I've got people that I go to and say, hey, am I reading this correctly? Is my take on this right? Because I don't want to be so arrogant that I become unteachable. So you take two or three people who would be moved with compassion as well to get people lined up with the Word of God. Now, I can tell you in 2026, there are people who are do not rightly divide the word of truth. I've heard numerous people in the past few months that do horrible violence to their interpretation of the word of God to try and make it say something that fits their political agenda instead of looking at it and saying, I need to change my behavior, change what I believe. They're so interested in the here and now that they do violence to the Word of God. And so people who know the Word, who want to see people walk in holy relationships, you take them with you and you present your case. Now, what is described here is that you're going the right way, you're going with compassion, you're going with truth, and the person doesn't respond to you, doesn't respond to the two or three witnesses. What do you do now? It says, if he refuses them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So what happens is if a person remains arrogant and stubborn and unrepentant and unaligned with the Word of God, they're not responding to the compassion that is being shown to them. God says, then at that point in time, it is no longer going to be a private matter. It's going to be a public matter. There are several verses that are very humbling when you think about it. When the Bible talks about that we're going to have to give an account for every idle word, every word that is not of faith, that every word that's not aligned with the heart of God, that's a very humbling statement. The more you talk, the more sin's not going to be very far away, and we've got to give an account for all that. The other thing is whatever is done in secret will be proclaimed from the rooftops. So I went on a prayer retreat, and I checked into a hotel. I hadn't started my praying yet. There was a college football bowl game on. Checked into a hotel that we have rewards points with. And when I turned the television on, never having stayed in this hotel before, the television said, "Welcome back, Robert. Here's the stations that you watched the last time you were with us. Do you realize the digital footprint that is out there?" And, you know, mine primarily would be sports, or it would be news, something like that. Those about the only things that I watch on, you know, whenever I go away. That and cooking shows if my wife is with me. So a person who refuses to admit that they are wrong, the Bible says that they are no longer viewed as a brother, but they are to be like a heathen or a Gentile or an unbeliever and a tax collector. Now, April 15th will be here before you know it. Nobody really likes paying their taxes, especially when you pay a lot of taxes. And in Jesus' time, tax collectors, by the way, I will tell you, Matthew was a tax collector. So he was under no delusion as how people looked at him. I'm telling you that Jesus can take you from one of the most vilified roles in society and make you a pillar of faith and a follower of Jesus Christ with a heart to reach people, to bless them, not to view people as a way to be enriched. So I wish that I could tell you that all of your relationships are going to be holy. All of your relationships, people are going to be doing things according to the Word of God. Unfortunately, that's not the case. We live in a fallen world, but God has given us a path to follow, a process, because he wants people to deal with their sin, repent of their sin, so that they can be saved. Right, the verse we read right before this in verse 14, "Your Father who is in heaven, that none or one of these little ones should perish." God doesn't want anybody to perish. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."